This is a Podcat Nation production. Hello, and welcome back to Buff Wild, a podcast that I joked about starting, and here we are, episode 4. I guess this is happening. I am, as always, your host, Olivia, and today I'm joined with my very dear friend, Isha. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. In a very, very special time as we're seeing like restrictions lift and everything because
yeah, definitely.
Le COVID. Yeah. Isha is in my home.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. We're both double vaxxed though.
It's nice. Right? Because vaccines are great. Get into it if you hadn't. Yes. What's wrong with you? Yeah. You got to hang out with a cat today.
Yes, definitely.
We're gonna like super eat some cute. Nice stuff. We got to drink some tea. It's been a good afternoon.
It's been a good afternoon.
Exactly. So you're like you're a big old Buffy fan.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not like a super fan. I don't know the names of the episodes you know, by heart or anything, but yeah, like I mentioned earlier, like as a when we were just like chatting, I grew up with Buffy. Mm-hmm. Like saw like the season premiere, like all of that stuff, grew up with it every Saturday in YTV. Soleil and I, my sister and I, would after dinner, like I think it was like on at 7 p.m or something like that every Saturday, like we would just like race to the TV to watch it, and we would always anticipate every single week, you know, like we would anticipate each episode, and you know, when we got back to school on Monday, we would discuss like the happening, you know, like the good old days of like anticipating each episode instead of like binging it on like Netflix these days. Right.
Every once in a while I find a series now that has like weekly installments and I'm confused.
Yes. Yeah,
because I'm so used to being able to binge everything now.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I'm just like, oh, I have to wait until next week for this, like what? But yeah, those were the good old days where it was just like, you know, like you gotta wait, and then, you know, when like after every season finale you have to wait like what, like several months until the next installment, like usually fall,
right?
So like the September shows and stuff like that, it's just like, oh my god, like you're on it, right? You have your list of shows. You have the TV guide.
Oh, the
like,
TV
who
guide.
Remembers that? I'm so old, right? Like, we had that.
Remember
in
TV
our, like,
listings
local
in the newspaper?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Totally.
I think both of our hips just, like, creaked in unison.
I know. I'm just like, oh. Yeah.
It's so good, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, you know, obviously because I grew up with Buffy and I'm old enough, like I would go for like long breaks in between, like years in between, before like we started. I think like the second rewatch that I did, my friend, one of my best friends, had the DVD collection or something, and like we just popped in one DVD after another, you know, way before like streaming stuff. Oh, right. Yeah. Like it was on DVD, so she had the entire collection. After all our I was an art major, so after all the studio days, that's how we would unwind, is like not clubbing, like watching rewatching episodes of Buffy. So yeah, that was like our little thing. And then yeah, and then like again in 2011 I did a rewatch, but like we illegally like pirated. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like I saw, you know, I watched like, you know, like pirated versions of it and stuff like that before, you know, now it's like available on Disney Plus. And it was Netflix at some point, I believe.
I think
too.
So. And now it's on Disney Plus, which has become like the network for some fun stuff.
Yeah, like it's great. Is Angel there too? Have you seen?
I think it is.
Okay. Oh my God, because the crossovers. Anyway, there are crossover episodes. I'm like getting ahead of myself, especially for like a first timer watcher like you. Like the crossover episodes are amazing.
Yeah, I'm just halfway through season four right now. And I think I just got my first like episode that was a major like reference to Buffy definitely being on an episode of Angel. And like being like, seeing Angel in LA was so weird. I'm like, okay, I'm like, should I be watching this like in tandem?
I think you should, because like... Like, let me tell you, like, when I watch the crossover episode, the Angel episode, it's like, every single time I see it, I cry. Like, that's all I'm going to say.
Outstanding.
That's all I'm going to say.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Fuck.
It's so good.
Like, just thinking about it just brings me to tears.
Fair, fair, fair. I'm, like, halfway through season four right now in the episode that is next on the queue for us that I'm like now saving because I need to be like fully alert for it and prepared is Hush, the fully silent episode.
Yes.
That I've heard a lot about and I'm so excited.
Yes. It's a really, really good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I must say that the show has some, like, for the most part, aged really well.
Yeah.
I'm actually, like, quite surprised that not very many female writers are in the show because I think Buffy is written quite wonderfully. Like, she's just flawed enough.
Mm-hmm.
And her character definitely develops over time, like, you know, there is like a really like natural progression from like high school Buffy to like college Buffy.
I love when you see her enter college, you see her lose a bit of her edge because she's like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life or anything.
Yeah, definitely. Whereas like I remember when I was in high school, I thought I knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I guess like going into my 20s, I was very arrogant myself, but a lot of that like sort of like youthful arrogance has like definitely softened going into my 20s, and especially like you know, like getting into the like the lessons and stuff like that in school and stuff like that, I realized I knew nothing, and that actually like gets more intense the older I get.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm like the less sure of myself I am like about stuff, but I'm more conversely, I'm more certain of myself as a person. I'm like a lot more comfortable with the way I my body has shifted, you know, things like that. Whereas that's like all I could think about in high school is just like, oh my God, I'm like, I must be like a size, you know, whatever, like what was like trendy at that time, like when I was like in high school, like size zero.
Oh yeah, still is somehow.
You know, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Oh, but I've always been like a curvy person, and you know, like that, and of course, like you see, like the protagonists, like Buffy and stuff like that. That sort of like size and growing up with that at like all of my high school, I went to an all girls school, so I know like the styles of that time were like everyone wanted to emulate Buffy,
right?
When I was that age, yeah, sure, like Buffy was great. Like I actually, you know, I drew for fun, so I would always like draw from magazines and stuff like that. Same with my sister. My sister would draw, you know, like the photo shoot, draw from like the magazines and stuff like that, like Buffy. But I actually always liked Willow.
Willow's so endearing.
Yeah.
There's something really interesting to watch about her arc as she's like entering a college of like Buffy thought she knew everything
just
and now she's horrified. Oh, it's the best of like, I know everything about how the series ends and I'm just watching it play out.
Yeah.
But Buffy, who's like, I know everything, I'm a spunky kid, now gets into it like a larger pool of people and is like, I don't know what I'm doing. Whereas Willow is like, I don't know what I'm up to and I'm just so shy of unsure of myself, and suddenly enters a pool of uncertainty. I was like, oh yeah, I love this.
Yeah,
I feel at like home in the uncertainty.
Oh, totally. And she like, she really, you really get to see her develop though, and like really get into her like her own person.
Yes.
Over time. And I loved seeing that. Loved seeing that evolution.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And Allison Hannigan plays her with like such sincerity is a point that I keep driving in every episode. I'm like, it's just so good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was always, as a teen, I remember, I was always sort of annoyed at the way they dressed her, like the stylist dressed her. Like, I know that, like, she's supposed to be, like, the nerdy type and stuff like that, but seriously, like, did you really have to play up that nerdiness to, like, a comical level? I mean, although, you know what? Like, these days, kids today... You know, like, really don't give a shit. And they will wear whatever the fuck they want. That's what I like about, like, seeing kids these days, right? They really don't have rules. Like, everything, they have the language, you know, that that we did not have, like, growing up. They also don't have any hard, fast rules on, like, fashion.
No.
They will wear whatever the fuck they want. So, really, if the kids today were to see Willow, I feel like they'd be like, I'd totally rock that.
Oh, yeah.
Combo.
Willow's probably a fashion icon for kids who've been watching Buffy during the pandemic.
Totally. Like, the chokers and, like the colorful tights.
Right, the aggressive color clashing.
The aggressive color clashing. Yeah, for
sure.
So
good.
Yeah, it's so good. But, like, as a teen, I was just like, really, like, couldn't you have, like, maybe, you know, like, yeah, sure, like dress her up to be a nerd, but, like, not so that it's, like, super color clashing, like
right?
Yeah,
I both appreciate what they were clearly going for styling Willow, but also I'm like, I don't believe that Willow would want to draw that much attention to herself from, like, wear her subdued, like, darks and, like, witchy colors.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
As I'm opposed just to, like, this, like, orange, pink, magenta color pop. I'm like, what is this?
I know.
Why?
It's insane. Oh my God. And then, you know, like, the opposite side of things, the popular kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you see those lines in their fashion start to come back. Actually, the 90s are, like, perpetually like, trendy these days, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it has been trendy for so long now. Like, I remember, like, when athleisure started to come into the scene, like, what, 2011? Mm-hmm. And you know, back then, like, I was really into, like, dressing the fuck up all the time, because, like, I don't know, I just, like, and I thought, like, athleisure was too, like, was just, like, a lazy look, but obviously I warmed up to it over time.
It's come,
like,
for all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Ripped jeans, I scoffed at that. Mm-hmm. I remember, but yeah, like, the 90s are perpetually, like, trendy.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like is a point of, like, fascination to kids who were not sentient beings during that time, whereas I super was, right? Like, I was a teen, right, during that time, right? Like, I was entering high school during that time. And you know, and like, and with shows like these, you know, the mini skirts and the knee high boots. And I remember when, like, certain cuts of Cordelia's outfits, mm-hmm, were, like, modeled after the Chinese, what it's called, but the Chinese collars and stuff like
Mandarin
that.
Mandarin color.
Yes, the Mandarin. Yes, exactly. The Mandarin colors. Like, I remember, I'm just like, and that was, like, super in.
Oh, I remember,
like,
that one was the hottest. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the mini skirts with the slits, you know, like, I remember those.
Right?
And I'm just like, and all, like, the young women in my school totally dressed like that, like, wore their hair like Buffy as well.
Oh yeah, Buffy with the, like, the claw and the French twist always.
Yeah, yeah. And the waves when she would, like, let it down.
Yes,
totally. And then the alternative kids dressed like Willow, oddly enough. Yeah, I mean, we had school uniforms, mind you, so, like, but little bits of that style with the, you know, the French bun, what did
the
you
French
call
twist
it? Yeah, the French twist. Yeah, exactly. And the waves and stuff like that were super evident, in spite of, you know, my classmates like wearing.
Oh yeah, private school kids always uniforms. Find a way.
Yes, yes, always find a way.
It's the tagline yeah. for this episode.
Exactly. Teacher's pet, which leads us to.
I have a question for you, actually, as a diehard Buffy fan who's watched it many times. What are your thoughts on Giles?
Oh God.
Because, like, that feels loaded, and I will, like, prompt you with why I'm asking and that. So I'm still in my first watch of it.
Okay.
And I'm like, Giles is fun. I'm weirdly watching it, trying to be really conscious of the fact that, like, they're making Giles seem out to be this, like, old dude who's just, like, out of touch. Yeah. And I'm like, Giles is, like, 35. Giles is our age.
Yeah. It's so uncomfortable. Giles is our age.
Right? And they try to make him to be, like, old and, like, out of touch, which, like, he is. He's just British. It's fine.
Yes.
But I had my sister on last week. Which was really fun. And she was real critical of Giles and just his like representation of like telling this teenage girl what she can and can't do with her body and like really clocking her activity and everything. I was like, oh, now I'm watching him differently.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Actually, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, it's so weird that you say that. Like the whole like 35.
Right? Because you're like, I'm watching
37.
It.
I'm like, oh, I'm not that uptight, am I?
Even like, watching it as an adult, you're like, yeah, I identify with Buffy. This is what this is supposed to be targeted towards. Totally. But you look at it critically and you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I think Giles was written way too much older than like what like a 35-year-old would act.
Yeah.
And I think it was written very much like a character of a certain period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whether that period is stuck in like the ancients, like what is it, like 50s, 60s, like something like that sort of mentality. But you get to see like Giles also has an arc.
Yeah.
Right? Like over time you will see.
Right. We kind of get like, why Giles is as uptight as he is because he lived a life, saw yeah. some shit.
Yeah, saw some shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I think like he like it's a 35-year-old. My God. Jeez. it's too much of like an overprotective father thing. Like that's yeah. what again, he's like kinda not one of my favorite characters in the series either. He's kind of like just one of those people that I'm just like, okay, you're the watcher, like it's fun, like someone that has always been there and is I guess like integral enough to the series, but like I never really paid attention to him. It was really only during like his arcs where you know, like you get to find out a little bit more about his past that sort of like made my eyes, that really got my attention, yeah. I guess, when I was a kid, a teen rather. Right. So I'm just like, okay, this is like really interesting, an interesting thing about Giles that I like never thought,
mm-hmm.
but I only like ever saw him as a way overprotective father.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and the only father figure really that was present in her life, because like I think her father, the person who plays her father, like only ever showed up maybe once, twice,
right, and was the worst.
You don't really, yeah,
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 ugh,
yeah,
Giles,
yeah, I don't know.
Right. They also like write he and Buffy with such countering energies of like Buffy is like 16 at the start of the series, but like can't be told, she can't be told shit, you know, yeah. like she's on it. And he's like, but like, let me help you. Let me instruct you through life. And she's like, I've seen life. I've burned down a gym. Like, it's fine. And I'm like,
totally
still watching it, not knowing it's not going to happen. But I'm like, when are these two going to fuck? Because like they definitely started the series with that energy. I'm like, are we gonna get a super gross storyline between these two?
Yeah, totally.
I know we never do now, and I'm like, good. Yeah. But like it definitely felt like they were building towards that at some point.
Yeah, it was just like I mean, like I guess as a teen I never saw it that way, and I was like, I don't know, like chalk that up to like naivete or something. Like I just saw him as this annoying figure, right. father figure. But like watching it as an adult, you can't help but wonder, because like now, like, you know, It's like coming out of like the Garden of Eden, so to speak, like entering adulthood where you know a little bit more. You kind of like start to sort of suspect, just like, is there something going on in here? But I don't know. For the most part, I think like I kind of just did not really pay attention to Giles all that much.
Fair.
Yeah. Very yeah. Fair. It's like Willow and Buffy and Cordelia that are like my like,
oh yeah,
you know. And then of course, like as the series progresses, which you're not there yet, like the whole like Spike thing. Ugh,
oh my just, God, Spike.
Yeah. That's just another thing that I can't really deal with. Yeah, I and even now, like having seen Buffy several times already, the entire series several times over, I'm still not sure about Spike as a character. He's just a big question mark to me. Like, do I like him? Do I hate him? Where the fuck is Angel? Like, why did Angel leave? Like, that sort of thing. That's fair. Like basically what I'm like thinking about.
Very fair.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in.
Should we get into this questionable episode that I got you to watch?
Yes. Okay. Because,
we both established neither of our favorites.
Yeah. No, it's not my favorite.
A thing we talked about last week that I feel like applies to this one especially is that it's so strange that, I guess, we get two episodes of this, like, canon franchise of like vampires, vampire time, and then like the episode before this one was witches, and now we've got predatory bug creatures. I'm like, I kind of wanted more vampire heavy for at least the first like handful of episodes, you know, to set the tone.
Yeah,
so it's an odd choice.
Yeah.
Thoughts, questions, concerns
about like about just the general sort of order of I guess like antagonists in like leading up to Teacher's Pet or
anything that the episode in general, like
The one thing that I took from like rewatching it as a 37-year-old is I'm glad that they focused on a person, an adult who actually saw the potential in Buffy.
Yes.
I'm just really sad that he didn't get enough airtime.
Right.
Yeah, that was it. Like, he was killed immediately, right? Like, by this, like, you know, like, this praying mantis kind of figure.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the whole, oh, gosh, like, the reoccurring trope in like, not just the, I'm not talking just about the show, just, like, in general, like, in pop culture, about, like, the woman, the feminine wiles, sort of, like, like luring the men to basically danger. I mean, it's been around for eons and eons, right? And so this was an interesting take on that, like the praying mantis, over like say the siren or like you see in folklore and stuff like that. So I found that I guess like interesting. I just wish it was written, it's not written well.
It's not.
That's all I can say. It's just like when you gave me this episode as an assignment, I was just like, oh God, this episode?
Right? Like, it's an episode where like its premise is neat. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah,
but like,
for sure.
I didn't need this. Nobody needed this.
No, yeah. And then like,
it's a thing that I maybe would have enjoyed more if they had done it like a few seasons in when the like series was more established.
Totally.
Because we're also, they're trying to get us to care about Xander a lot, who the first couple episodes just been like gross and weird.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Also, I was waiting for this because I was like, I have to tell Isha, she's going to appreciate this. Recently, so I have a lot of hate for Xander.
Yeah.
I have no patience for him.
I have no patience for him either. He's not like, he's like very low.
Yeah.
I like Giles more than Xander. Right? Let's just say
Giles,
that.
I'm like, I don't get you, but I appreciate you, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Xander, I know him too much. You know, like we all knew a Xander.
Yeah, we all knew a Xander.
We're like, if you met a Xander now, nobody would be
like,
having
really?
It.
Really? You're such a loser.
So gross. But I found a BuzzFeed list recently that was like, characters that were fully just like replicated in different series. And the first one on the list was Chandler Bing, then became Xander.
Oh my God.
And now I'm watching it differently because I can't unsee it.
That's so true.
It weirdly, that parallel humanized him a little bit for me, where I'm like, oh, you're just so weird and awkward. And you also happen to be like a horny teenage boy in the 90s.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even, like drawing like sort of like parallels between like Chandler Bing and Xander, I still like Chandler Bing more.
Totally. Because like Chandler was like soft.
Yeah, at least soft.
A level of just like feminine energy to him.
I mean, we're in a different
fucking
worst. Ross was the worst.
Ross is definitely, I feel like, is what Xander would have grown into, and just like the dangerous toxic masculine energy.
Totally, 100%.
I feel like Xander is like Chandler's evil twin, you know?
Yeah.
Chandler's a sweet baby.
Yeah.
Xander fucking sucks.
Yeah, yeah. So Xander sucks.
Yeah, we get a Xander heavy episode. Then again, I don't know we needed so early. Like, I would have liked a Willow heavy episode, maybe, because we already have a softness for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Xander, they haven't built him up very well. I know we're supposed to like him ultimately, but like, we haven't gotten there yet.
I never liked
him. No, he's gross.
I'm just like, I tolerated him. Right? That was about it.
And like, really nailing in this point, this episode starts with this sequence that I was watching today and was like, what's up with Buffy's hair and makeup? This is definitely a dream sequence. It's Xander's weird horny dream sequence about like saving Buffy and fighting vampires and playing a cool guitar solo.
And
I was like, nice three power chords, dude.
I know, exactly. I was just like laughing at that scene. I had forgotten about that scene, actually. The whole like, you mean kiss you like I never kissed before?
Oh, I have that written down in front of me.
Buffy,
will you still be able to finish my solo and kiss you like you've never been kissed before?
Yes, exactly.
Why?
I'm like, seriously, why?
Right?
Why? That is so lame.
It brings us to a point we talked about earlier of like, I don't know what the writer's room looked like. I'm curious. Maybe I'll look into it to like do the series for some context. But like, this was questionable.
Yeah.
This was maybe too much representation of one particular group of people, and it really shows. Yeah. And I feel like you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And just the whole whininess that is Xander, you know, like, oh, boo-hoo, like, this whole, like, that prompt with the whole, like, incel question mark, I was just like, it's true. Like, he has a very incel-ish behaviors for sure. It's like, boohoo, poor me, like only the jocks or whatever get, like, you know, like the brooding angel, like, why is Buffy him, yada yada.
Or like if they remade Buffy, which like, please don't, it's perfect as is, don't remake it.
Yeah,
if they remade it, I feel like they'd have to like rewrite Xander.
Yeah,
because as our culture is growing, like, you can't sell that. There's a nostalgia to him now where you're like, okay, it's you. Like, I know you're going to show up in every episode.
Yeah.
You can't create a character like that now.
Exactly. 100%. Like, maybe, like, it'll be super interesting to, like, rewrite him as an ally who's, like, learning, you know? It's just, like, learning to be an ally. Or, like, maybe he's flawed enough because he's a man. Whoops.
You're in a safe space.
Just like, you know, to be like, okay, like, whoops, my bad, like, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have like done that, but I'm really like trying my best, that sort of thing, you know? Or like, you know, write him as like an ally who gets defensive once in a while but slowly starts to learn that, like, okay, like, this is not about me.
Exactly. Xander is somebody who thinks he's the main character but is like the annoying sidekick and has not made that connection for himself.
Yeah.
So we have this awful dream sequence that is just like uncomfortable to watch. It's real cringy. Ends with dream Buffy being like, you're dreaming. And then he wakes up and she's
or
like,
something
you're
like
drooling, dude. You're in science. Like, wake up.
Yeah, wake up.
Right. We get some like uncomfortable teenage science class stuff of like, tell me how ants communicate. Buffy, you're clearly not paying attention. I'm gonna pick on you, as teachers do. Class is dismissed. This science teacher is like, Buffy, let's talk. And we get, it's like unclear where this is going when it starts.
Yeah,
where you kind of think that he's gonna be another teacher who's just like, yeah, definitely every authority figure Buffy has met so far is like,
definitely
you again, you're gonna like set another gym on fire, which like I want to flashback to that gym on fire. It's referenced so much.
I know,
I want that. But yeah, this teacher pulls her aside and is like kind of like going off, and we'll see if the mic picks up Clara the cat clawing at her tower. Podcat Nation mascot. Yeah, but then rolls in with like, I know you're capable of more.
Yeah.
Etc. And like her face lights up like Christmas morning.
Yeah, it's totally.
So it's like very sweet, but also very sad because clearly nobody has given Buffy the time of day
and
in her life.
Nobody has seen her as like as anybody other than a troublemaker. No. Right?
Exactly. So, even both of her parents, like her mom expects she's going to get into trouble. Her dad is just absent.
Yeah. So I feel like really, you know, like I'm always like rooting for her, even like as a teen. It's just like, and I guess, you know, like my sister and I mean, my sister, you know, obviously I was in high school and she was still in elementary school. It's just like we were going through like we were starting to get go through phases in our life. It's just like what is considered like acceptable in like society and friends, you know, like Soleil was the popular, like, you know, jock, right? And I was like the nerd.
Okay.
So it was kind of just like, I really identify. It's like oddly enough, or I guess not so odd, I identified with both Buffy and Willow, mm-hmm. right? Because I felt like, you know, like Buffy, even though like she has the exterior of somebody like socially acceptable, right? Mm-hmm. Like during that time, she's very much an outsider because of her responsibilities as the Slayer.
Right.
And then, you know, like Willow, on the other hand, is just like, maybe she doesn't, but like she because of her brains and everything and the way she like she dresses, right? Mm-hmm. It's like just not considered cool enough. And I like that they found each other,
right? Basically. They're like very sweet friends who just like
very sweet
fit
friends.
Together so perfectly.
Yeah,
it's very sweet.
Yeah even with like Willow's crush of Xander.
Oh right, they're like so like, supportive of each other, and it's very cool.
Yeah
right, if we can just bounce back really quickly, because this teacher said something that I loved, where I'm like, oh, this is a teacher that all of us wanted, because he says to her, he's like talking about how like ignore the principal, ignore your teachers who are like telling you that you suck, you're just a kid, you're trying your hardest, and says, let's make them eat that permanent record.
Yes.
And is wonderful. And then he immediately dies.
He immediately dies.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, it wasn't like through alluring either. It was just like, yoink. Like, you just happened to be in the classroom and like, you just grabbed.
Right.
You know, you were just grabbed. So, and eaten.
We get a whisper of like a possible positive force in Buffy's life. And then he's immediately killed.
Yeah,
by
he's immediately killed.
Our villain of the week.
To me, like, that's the tragic thing. Like, seeing that. You know, as a teen, mm-hmm. and you know, and then like rewatching it again, it's just like, of course, like he gets killed immediately,
right? Yeah. He's too pure,
yeah,
too pure for words,
too pure for this world.
Yeah, so it's awful, he's killed, but then we cut to the bronze. Can we talk about the bronze for a second?
Yeah, it's so strange that like the concept of the bronze is super strange to me,
right? And I was thinking about it today, because I know in like the first episode they mentioned that like it's like it's in the bad part of towns, so like they don't get ID, and I'm like, I don't believe there's not some major like class warfare at work in Sunnydale, like a la Veronica Mars, where I want more of to explain the bronze,
right
it's such a weird place.
It's such a weird place. The concept of the bronze is such a weird place to me. It's a club / like, you know, like
coffee shop.
Like coffee shop. Like fucking muffins are being served there.
In this rave warehouse.
In this like rave warehouse. I'm like, that muffins are like not rave warehouse kind of food or fare.
Right.
You know, like you think alcohol. You think, you know what I mean? Not coffee. Exactly. Like, what is this?
Right. Like, it's and so
like,
weird.
Okay, and then like the bronze, okay? Like that is how I've discovered most of the stuff that I listened to when I was a teenager. Like it's how I discovered Michelle Branch, because Michelle Branch guest starred, right?
Yes.
So it was just like
a list of every band that was on there. I was like, I don't think this is accurate because I think there was actually a ton of bands that were on here.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, including Michelle Branch.
Including Michelle Branch. I'm just like, I remember like this was like, again, like way before the times of like Soundhound and like Shazam or something like that. I'm just like, what is this song? Like, I remember like it like replayed once because I don't remember it quite clearly, but I think like, you know, like what the new episodes come in every Saturday, but I think it gets a replay during the week or something like that. But anyway, I remember like taping it just so I can like watch the credits to be like, who is this like person? Like she sang Goodbye to You, right? So like in Buffy. And what? So like... So I would like really like religiously went through the credits just to find her name. I was obsessed.
You said you taped that episode and I immediately traveled back in time to like put setting the TV to channel 3.
Yeah.
And like recording
and record and hit the record. Like that's how we did stuff, kids. Yep. Like, you know, like y'all have it easy.
Truly. It's all there for you.
Yeah, it's all there for you. The information's right on your fucking fingertips, man.
Yeah, like gave we your had to content work. Made you your favorite.
Yes, exactly.
So we're at the Bronze and I have written something very upsetting that I both hate myself for writing, but also I stand by, and that the line I've written is Xander wants some fuck.
Yeah,
he's just like in the Bronze creeping on every girl and also just like trying to make friends as well, but is failing so miserably because Xander's so just like miserably. A creepy dude.
He's
but
so
there's
creepy.
He's so gross, but he's just like lurking, not successfully trying to meet anybody. He's just lurking, and there's two other jock dudes who are like, I touched her butt, what about you? Like, oh yeah.
Like how many? Basically, they were like taking number, you know, like keeping score, right?
Yeah.
It was just
I learned a gross term lately that the current generation uses to describe this. It's body count.
No fucking
way. And I hate
way.
It so much. It makes it so violent. It's
it
awful.
It makes it so violent.
Yeah.
Ew.
So they're discussing.
Why, kids? Why?
Right? You can't unknow that now, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So they discuss body count in the Bronze, and they're like, hey, Xander, like, what about you? How many butts have you touched? That's how I phrase it.
Basically.
Trying to make it less gross, but
pretty
making it
much.
Even grosser. And he's like, today or this week, LOL. And he sees Willow and Buffy walk in and he's like,
yeah,
babes, and it's so awful and weird.
Awful
Yeah.
And I'm just like barf,
right?
I saw that.
But then we get like a little reprieve from that because they're like, oh sure, we'll go along with it because you're our friend for some reason. And then Buffy sees Angel and she's like, there's a 30 year old man over there, I have to go talk to him.
Yeah. I know,
we're like controversial, right? Opinion. I know we're supposed to root for Buffy and Angel, but I'm like,
I know, watching it as
right,
an adult,
as an adult,
like,
you're like, this
really?
Is disgusting.
You're like, this is just like,
right?
I don't know. Yeah, like totally, like watching it again. And it's just like, I guess I'm more okay with it when she enters college, but high school though, like,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, I was, and even as a teen, actually, I was just like, what the fuck, like he's so much older
and there's
I was super creeped out by that.
We're like, we see he's just like a soft puppy, but like starts out really creepy and like
the stalking stuff, like it's just like, you know, like you're stalking her essentially. And you're like, again, I like if this gets rewritten and stuff like that, that cannot happen because like that's just not okay. You cannot romanticize stalking,
right?
Because
also he knows everything about her, she knows nothing about him.
Yes, I'm just like, that's just like,
for information, he refuses to give it to
her. Yeah, totally.
There's also something really upsetting with their like angry flirting they do.
I know, right? How was this normal back
right.
then?
That was like, the vibe.
That was the vibe.
Right? You get Willow's relationships that are so sweet, and then you get this to contrast it, and you're like,
yeah. And it's just like, but that's the thing, is just like, we grew up thinking this was normal. Like, this is a, like a normal exchange. Like, this is how one finds a mate.
Right? And you're like, find somebody that upsets you.
Yeah.
That you kind of feel unsafe around, lock it down.
Lock it down.
Put a ring on. Put a ring on that unsettling situation. Yeah. So they, he finds her to warn her about more vampires.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I had some trouble just focusing on this episode because the storyline is both like so uncomfortable and also like kind of boring.
Yeah, it was like, super boring to me. Like there were definitely uncomfortable moments, but I'm just like, oh my God, like really?
Right.
Like this is it? And it was kind of anticlimactic too, don't you think? Like the way it ended.
Right. Where like he warns her about Fork Guy, who's like a vampire with a fork hand who like pops up during the episode, but not enough to warrant introducing a new character.
Exactly. It's like, what kind of demon is that? Right. You know, just like,
it could have just been a vampire, but they were like, there's a specific vampire. He's very strong. He will be destroyed instantly.
Like, yeah.
Super, super, super weird.
So strange.
We get a lot of those cutscenes of like, here's a location, then here's another one, then here's another one, because we're covering a lot of ground in these first five episodes, and I swear we're going to get there.
Yeah.
But so she chats with Giles the next day and tells him about Fork Guy, to which he responds, I think there are too many guys in your life, and then chuckles like he's cracked himself up. He's like, ha ha ha, ha, I made a joke. And you're like, no, this is just super weird.
Just like, this is weird.
She's met two people. She just moved here. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then we get the information that the science teacher is AWOL. We don't know where he is, but Xander has a really gross like visual reaction to meeting the substitute science teacher. And he's like, a science teacher who looks like Linda Evangelista walks in.
I know.
I don't know who plays her. I should have looked that up. But looks like Linda Evangelista.
Yeah.
And immediately spots Xander and she's like, tell me where to get to the science class. And he's like, I go there every day. I have no idea where it is. This like gross jock that he was talking to at the Bronze swoops in. And he's like, I'll show you, adult lady. Take my teenage arm. I'll show you. I don't wear deodorant yet. Let's hang out.
So gross.
Right?
Yeah.
It's awful. We get to science class. We can introduce her. But like Buffy finds the other teacher's glasses on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, is there no custodian at Sunnydale High?
Right? I'm like, just like, okay, just that's just like random.
Why are those just on the floor?
I know. It's like with a, like, am I remembering it correctly? It has a tiny crack or something like that?
Yeah, they're broken. She's like, why would he leave these here? I'm like, because something bad happened to him. Be better at being a slayer.
It's just like, I feel like this episode is super lazy.
It's very lazy.
It's a lazy episode.
It feels like early in the series for them to be putting this much filler in.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I know that you're trying to establish that they live in the fucking Hellmouth, but it's a lot. It's a lot of demons in one, like, episode.
I kind
of
get the vibe that they're like, we don't want to throw too many vampires in. We don't want to make them bored. I'm like, it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We're here for teeth. Should I make merch that reads, we're here for teeth?
Yeah. You know, we're here for teeth.
We're here for teeth. Christ. So that for some reason just isn't looked at any further, and it really should be. Buffy's got these glasses, she puts them on the desk. Natalie French, our substitute teacher, comes in. Just call her Linda Evangelista, comes in. And all the boys are like, wow, 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 wow,
wow, wow, wow, wow, wow, wow.
Hello, nurse.
Hello, nurse. Boing.
It's so uncomfortable. Like she looks like a Bond girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Totally, with like that intense stare and like that sultry, like
Right. Really. I both hate it and I appreciate their commitment to like making this bit happen. So awful.
Yeah.
But so she's, you know, she's like, science, I sure like it. Let's talk about cannibal bugs, and like talks about that for a while. And she's like, we should make some model egg sacs for the science fair. Who wants to help? It's not a class project. It's a volunteer thing. All the boys are like, me, I want to help with the egg sacs. Let's do it.
It's so ridiculous. I'm going through it scene by scene.
Awful.
Yeah.
And then we get to the cafeteria and everyone's like, oh my God, this teacher's so hot, right? Like Xander's like, she's incredible. I'm in love with her. And Buffy and Willow are not having it. And they're like, well, yeah, she's hanging out with all these young dudes because they don't have time to question, why can't she find someone her own age?
Yeah.
And I both appreciate, I have like an ongoing trend with Buffy where I can't tell if this was intentional flipping the tables of what we'd expect in terms of like gender disparity.
Yeah.
Or if this was just like a kooky, you know, switch of the tables that happened and like, yeah, let's not give Joss Whedon too much credit.
Yeah.
Of like, appreciate that it was a sexy female teacher.
Yeah.
And not like a hot young like dude who's easier to plant as a predator. Like, abuse happens on every gender spectrum.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be like an older man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so they really quickly are like, this is gross. You need to acknowledge that this is gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not cool.
Yeah.
The gross jock that keeps popping up this episode, it rolls in and he's like, gotta carb up for my one-on-one with Miss French. And
oh, like, God, that line. I'm so just like, gross. I just rolled my eyes.
Right.
When I like rewatching this, I'm just like, there's a reason why like I don't like actively, you know, like if I ever like do one-off episodes of Buffy, like I will it's always this skip one. This.
Right? You're going for those like heavy hitters. You're not going for whatever this
no.
was.
No.
Right? Like we had a filler episode last week too that was also questionable but was still fun. It was about right. like witches and the introduction of Amy, which
yes,
was like
yeah.
a character that we needed yeah, to get to
yeah.
know.
Yeah, I actually really liked that episode.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it's questionable in terms of its like structure within the series, but I liked it. It was actually the first episode I'd ever seen. And
oh,
then I started
wow.
watching it this year.
Wow. Really?
I watched it when I was homesick, probably in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird thing to just watch when you're sick and 10.
I know. Like yeah. crazy. Yeah. And then like, it like touches on like, you know, body dysmorphia and like basically like eating disorders and stuff like that, right? Like mm-hmm. the brown, you know, like
brownies.
Not eating the brownies, like you might get fat, that sort of thing.
Right. And you're like, eat the brownies, have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time.
Should we make brownies?
Like, really?
I don't know.
But
we also just get like nobody is portrayed in a very good light in this episode because Cordelia rolls in, who like has the energy of like is both like a really cringy character because she's the mean popular girl, but is also incredible. Like she's got the energy of every like older gay man who's just over it as fuck.
Yeah.
She rolls in and she's like in the back of the cafeteria and she's like, I'm looking for my medically prescribed lunch. And then she finds a dead body. Right? With no head. And we see very quickly that it is Dr. Gregory, the science teacher.
Yeah.
It's such a weird
oh
scene.
Oh my God. It's such a weird scene. I'm like, I'm going to like fast forward to the therapy scene. Like,
right? Because I'm like, I do appreciate that they're like 97. They're like, we need to get these kids into therapy because this is traumatizing. I'm
but
like yeah.
the Cordelia.
Oh my God. Yes.
Oh my God. Like what? She discusses like
I love where we had the like close-up of like Cordelia's therapy session just to be able to hear it because you just get close-up of Buffy's face going like what
yeah.
horrified one minute you're in your normal life and then who's in the fridge was my favorite line
100%
even used Mercedes still have leather seats
like so dying when
I'm like I know we're not supposed to like this person but I love her.
I know I love her like as an adult like I love her like again
oh, yeah.
like in high school I'm just like ugh what a bitch you know but like
now you're like you're everything
now
I'll
like you're
you
everything
right
yeah,
I also love that like, Cordelia's dressed like 20 years older than she's supposed to be every
totally
time,
where
totally. she looks like an undercover she looks like a narc like a super stylish narc. You're like, I'm clear.
You're
she's
so
like,
funny.
She's like the beautiful bombshell version of the Steve Buscemi meme of like, hello, fellow kids. Like that's Cordelia through this entire series.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Love
I mean,
her.
I like her more and more, like, especially like, you know, as she like, again, progresses in the series, like I like her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She gets an amount of growth. They like really made you wait for.
Yeah.
They're like. Some asshole Ugh. Creator didn't want to give us but like grudgingly
yeah.
did
yeah
if we can jump back because
yeah.
I think your therapy scene was my the police investigating because oh. like so Buffy immediately like talks to Giles about it and they're like she's really upset because this one teacher who noted that she's just like a kid who's trying
yeah
has been murdered like horribly and he's like don't go hunting don't do anything drastic and she's like okay and immediately goes hunting
yeah
and she finds fork guy in like a tree nook out of a fairy tale. It's right. super weird. Finds him, like they get into a scuffle, but the police are there and they're like, just like, we're doing a really terrible job because they don't see Buffy hiding in the forest. But my favorite, one of my favorite shots of the entire episode is the police officer who's leading the search.
Yeah.
And you like camera zooms in on him and he has the flashlight in one hand and yeah. the gun just like in the other, but like waving them both around. I'm like, that's not
how,
like, this is so distasteful, but I can't not live like Buffy giving us the most cartoonish example of ACAB, like defund the police, put your gun away. You're just doing an inspection in the park. Like, why, yeah. why do you have guns blazing?
I don't understand.
It was that. So weird.
It's so weird. Right?
But yeah, so she's chasing Fork Guy.
Yeah.
And like chases him through the park and she sees him see Miss French, who's walking home with her groceries.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, gonna find someone to munch. Great. She turns around and he yeah. like freaks out like a dog who's been kicked. Yep. Is like, no, 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 no. And like runs into the sewer.
Yeah.
So Buffy watches this happen. She goes to school the next day and is like, Giles, here's what's happening. And like, I've just also just written Giles is horny and scared. Where like she tries to tell him that Miss French is not okay and he's like, did you watch Clone High?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I remember Clone High.
This reminded
sure.
me
Teletoon
of, yes, right, Teletoon yeah. After Dark. This yeah. reminded me
After
very
Dark
much
yes
of Abe Lincoln trying to explain why he likes Cleopatra. He's like, you know, she's just she's nice and she's pretty and yeah, she's yes, this and yes. she's pretty. Basically what I'm saying is I appreciate her commitment to community service. Was Giles talking about the substitute yeah. teacher? He was yeah. like, she's
because of course you like know, because he's a man and he like got tempted by her feminine wiles, right? Like,
and it's like an appropriate age range to be like, yeah. I'd date this teacher.
Yeah,
I'd
totally
do some community service with her. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people go to therapy. I appreciate this because like even now, almost like almost 30 years later, I don't know what time is, 25 years
yeah.
later.
Yeah.
There's still like not enough representation of like therapy for traumatic events in film no. and TV. They're like, it's fine. No. People get scared. It's fine. Nothing bad happens. You're like, everything bad happens. It's
yes.
fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she gets pulled out of her way to class to go to therapy. I guess she does, or maybe she just watches Cordelia talk about use Mercedes for a while. I hope she doesn't go into a session. She just watches that and she's like, she tries to go to class and there's a pop quiz happening and she's yeah. like watching because like the door's closed because there's a quiz.
Yep. I and know the scene.
Right. We get the zoom in on the teacher who like is too close to Xander and she's like, I think this is the answer you meant. And she like feels Buffy's eyes on her and just full
on
exorcist turn.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. It's awful.
Oh man.
Right.
Yeah.
The gross jock is now absent also because he's been hanging out with the teacher. Like, ooh, very, very clear trail.
Yep. Yep.
Right. We get like this uncomfortable joke about Buffy's finally going to do some homework because she's going to look into bugs. Mm-hmm. And then it just gets really, really awful where like Xander gets invited to have some one-on-one time with the teacher and he like,
oh my God, the one-on-one time. Come after. Oh God.
Oh, it's so
just
gross.
Like imagining the scenes that like lead up from like that invite to, you know, it's just like, oh, by the way, like she makes that excuse like I have another like conference, like teacher's conference or something.
Oh yeah, she's like double booked herself but also yeah. left the supplies at home, so like we can't possibly do it now, let's do it at cocktail hour.
And then like, you know, fast forwarding to like her greeting him and like all dressed up
yep.
with like
tits ablazing.
Seriously, tits ablazing. Pretty much. I'm like, we're going to be, you know, examining a different kind of egg sack today, you know? Like,
wow, 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 wow.
You know what I mean?
I'm
just like, come on, you guys are not going to make models
right.
of egg sacks. Like,
where I'm like, I don't want to assume what everybody was up to with their body, but like, there was no question that she was like, we're not here for science.
Yes.
We're here for biology.
Biology. Yes. Chemistry. Yo, like, come on. Like, if I were, like, you know, if I were greeted that way and just like the lights are dim, like you're wearing a tight dress, I'd just be like, alarms ablazing, like you're seducing me.
Also, she greets this like 16-year-old boy with martinis.
I know, with martinis. I'm like, dude, this like guy cannot is not legally allowed to drink. That's
a
growing
boy. Give him a glass of milk.
I just like milk and cookies. Here exactly. You go. Like, or a freaking soda pop.
Right. I'm of drinking age. I would love some milk and cookies. That sounds nice.
Yeah, totally.
It gets really questionable in between of like them connecting what she's up to and Xander in this situation. We get like a lot of like cut back and forth to like the Scooby gang trying to figure it out versus Xander being like, will I touch? Unclear.
Yeah.
There's something about Giles having like a friend who's also dealt with anthropomorphic bugs. There's... He goes to make one transatlantic telephone call. So weird. I'm still not totally sure who this friend was.
Who's this friend?
Right.
And then didn't he say he went like mental or something like that?
Yeah, I guess he like studied bugs like this and everyone was like, you're not okay. And he was like, no, I saw one. She was really dangerous. And they're like, okay, we're going to lock you up somewhere. Like, it's not going to be good for you. I love that they're like, Buffy and Willow are so worried about their friend that they're just like throwing down every hateful comment. Yeah. They're like, her fashion sense screams predator. Willow, it's the shoulder pads. It is the shoulder pads.
Did she wear a shoulder patch? I don't think so.
I don't know that she did. I think they're just like,
yeah, they're just like trying to like it's like a deep, you know, like cut.
Right?
Yeah.
Anything they could.
Or trying to anyway.
Right?
Womp womp.
Xander's so horribly manipulated and he's like, I love martinis, I'm gonna chug this. She's like, again, just really making sure that her intentions are clear. She sits with them and goes, yeah, have you ever been with a woman before?
Oh my god. I'm right? Just like, this is like horribly like in the props.
It's so awful. And he's stumbling. He's like, I've been around women, it's been cool. And the whole time you can hear this man screaming for help.
No. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, oh wait, do you hear that? Do you hear?
Oh my god. And then, would you have such strong hands or something, would you like to touch me with those hands?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Right? This is, you like know? If you told an AI bot to seduce somebody, you've got this bug creature. It's awful. Then we get the transition of like, oh, she has bug hands and now you're doomed. So he wakes up in a cage.
Yeah,
the gross jock is there.
Yep.
She's eating men something. And boys and it's not great. And then like Giles and Buffy and Willow are still investigating because so much has happened in the time where I'm like, you really just need to find him because he's clearly in danger. They give us the term Kleptis Virgo or virgin thief. And there's like a lot of shame about Xander, the 16-year-old child, being a virgin. It's really weird. I know,
exactly. First of all, like, virgin, come on, that's so antiquated. But like, right. You know, like seeing it as an adult and like knowing what we know and like having the language that we now have and stuff like that. My God, like hearing this is just like, Jesus, seriously? But you know, like, of course, like as a teen, right? It was just like, oh, virgins only, like right. Virgins, like only virgins can be, you know, used to, for this, for her mating rituals to be like super successful.
Right. It's weird. They focus on that for a while and he's like, I've touched so many people in all of my years on this planet. You're like, Okay, Xander. Right. They're studying. Buffy introduces the terminology slice and dice, which I really enjoyed about like how to destroy this villain of the week.
Yeah.
You need to use sonar, like bats.
Yes. And then slice the bat and dice. Stuff. Yeah, that's right. Oh my god.
Xander makes himself a weapon to just like kill some time, but it doesn't do much. No. Willow gets so Willow finds this woman's address. They go and find her and they give us a trope that I'm finding more and more in like horror and thrillers that I really love. Which is somebody who's not who they say they are.
Yeah.
Has not just made up an identity. They've found somebody else who exists. So like if you run a check on, be like, oh yeah, this person exists. They live here. But it's like this old lady.
I know. Yeah. It's like, it's super common, this thing.
Yeah.
This trope.
Because you can't just make up an identity. Like you have to be traceable.
Yeah.
So she's found this old lady.
Yeah.
Who was born in 1907. I had to write it like, down because it was upsetting.
She's really well preserved.
Right. Oh my god, I think Betty White's gonna be 100 this year.
Yeah. Is she? Whoa.
In a couple months, I think.
Oh, she doesn't look 100.
Right. Betty's getting it. Bless her. That reminded me of that, and I needed you to know.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it. And she's like still like, you know, at it. Yeah, acting.
Betty's crushing it. Like, Betty's what kind of vitamin it. Supplement B12 I know, shots right? is she
getting? I'm just like, yo, can I like get your right? your like diet?
She's doing great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they assess that he's like in danger. They find this old lady. He's not there. Well, they're like, Willow's just like, I'm gonna bang on doors. I know she lives near here. And she's like, Buffy's like, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had time to go into the sewers, find this guy vampire and yep. make him lead yeah, and like slay like, him.
Yes, exactly. Like you, almost a divining rod for this for right. this like praying mantis kind of creature, a divining rod for insects.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like in terms of using your time effectively, you could have just banged on windows and yelled totally. A bit until someone was yeah. like, oh, that hot lady, yeah, she's over there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was very, very frustrating. So they break in. Buffy has her like really, really aggressively scripted Slayer lines, and she's like, I know what your greatest weakness is. It's sonar. And she goes to play her sonar, but it's Giles doing
Giles recording. It's just like, oh my God. She's
being like such a sweet buffoon always.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So right. cute, actually. I found that like scene endearing.
Right? I both like am bothered by Giles, but also find him very endearing in general. I'm like, he's just, he also didn't want to be a watcher. He just wanted to like get up to crime in East London, I think. Like, he's just having fun. Mm-hmm. We get a lot more virgin shaming because like they've now, there's a fight scene. It's kind of boring. They save Xander, Bug Lady's dead.
I know. The other fight scene was just like really boring.
It was, because even like for like this questionable set, like special effects and CGI and everything, we got some good fight scenes from early Buffy.
Totally.
I'm like, I don't know what this is, but it was not.
Yeah, this was just like not.
Right?
Yeah.
They save Xander and the other kid, the other jock boy is like, my dad's a lawyer, and if you tell anybody that I'm a virgin, he'll come after you. I'm like,
seriously? I know, right? Like, I'd forgotten about the lawyer line. Oh my gosh, like, thanks for that. But
I just recently watched Hocus Pocus because it's the time for it.
I love Hocus Pocus.
There's a lot of weird virgin shaming in that, too.
It is. I'm like,
was this just
totally.
The trend at that time?
I think it is. It's like, the whole, like, purity weird. Thing and, like...
The last piece of dialogue in Hocus Pocus is like these two ghosts talking to each other, and he's like, sorry, it took me so long. I waited 300 years for a virgin to light my candle. I'm like, and then cut to credits.
I know.
Super weird.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I like it for its campiness and everything. Oh, and like,
it's
you
incredible.
Know, Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's better than I remembered it being.
Yeah. And like, of course, like Bette Midler and stuff, you know? And just
Kathy
like,
and Jimmy.
Yeah.
A treasure?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can do no wrong.
Can do no wrong.
Should be known more widespread. But...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy.
So there's a lot more virgin shaming.
The virgin shaming.
Like, Xander slices up this bug nest. I've written here, Angel also preys on children, because I think we get some more angel sightings. There's a new science professor, and Buffy walks into the classroom and is like, new professor. Mm-hmm. His glasses are still here. I'm going to tuck them into his jacket,
into
which is
jacket.
Still here. I'm like, why has his loved ones not come to
I know,
take his
has claimed
away?
This, and then like cut to
right
the egg sack.
Cut to the egg sack that's still there,
that's
but like
cracking.
I both open. Appreciate it. They gave this like a dun, 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 but as far as I know, nothing ever comes of it. It's just there.
No, it's just there. Like, what happens, you know? I don't think it ever gets revisited again, TBH.
Right.
So it's just like, okay, cool beans, Hellmouth.
Right. It's just so
we live in the Hellmouth.
I'm sorry that this is the episode I gave you.
That's okay.
But I also felt like you would have a lot to say about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I would do it again.
It's okay. Like, bring me in again for the other juicy
ones. Oh, yeah.
Ones,
I'll bring you in for
so
some Oz
much
episodes.
To say. Like, especially, like, the later episodes. Like, just you wait.
Right.
Just you wait. Are you watching them in order?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
So
good.
Good.
Yeah. Because you need to watch it in order.
There's a lot of context.
Yeah.
There's a lot,
there's
to
a lot
in.
Of context. A lot of backstories. And then, some backstories get, like, revisited. So, you know, that, yeah, it's just, man, what a time.
Right? Overall, how'd you feel about this episode? What's your vibe?
I hate it. I just, like, we could do without that episode. Yeah. It's definitely super lazy. Not much to discuss, really. Like, we went through the episode, like, with a fine-tooth comb almost. Mm-hmm. But, like, I found myself sort of, like, referencing, you know, like later episodes, really, to sort of like give it a little bit more meat, a little bit more context. Yeah. But definitely can do without just everything from like the really like lackadaisical fight scenes and just like too many demons and like the stalky angels. Oh god. Right. Like, just everything about it was just like, okay, like, move on. Like, you can skip that episode, kids.
My,
like,
favorite part of watching this episode in order was, so when we did the last episode, we talked about the fact that it's weird that there's like a lack of Angel in the first few episodes, because he should be there all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like walking down the street and he's like, oh guys, and keeps going, just like some awkward Angel content. Yeah. To make him relevant.
Yeah.
And then this episode gives us the awkward Angel content of him just being there, like, just hi, like, there's, hey, vampires, and
oh,
like,
yeah, leaves. Here's my jacket.
Oh my god, yeah. And he's like, no, like, it looks better on you.
It,
like,
looks better on you.
He's just walking around in his underwear, like, and you're like, seriously? Okay.
Oh my god.
So awful.
Like 1950s much? Like, come right. on. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I was just like, oh god.
Right.
And I remember like the whole, like, the long jacket part, leather jacket part, that was like such a style high school.
The Matrix style.
Yeah, the Matrix style. Yeah. Yeah, but like the Buffy style is like not, you know, just like hitting sort of like mid thigh, and then like you get like the knee high boots and the short skirts. That was a super, like, a style that, right, like everyone in my, well, at least like the, you know, the popular ladies in my high school totally tried to emulate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, what a time.
Right.
That was an interesting time.
I give this episode 3 Giles's lesson on tape. Mm-hmm. Out of 10.
Pardon?
3 Giles's lessons on tape out of 10. Which I would listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
All the way through.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, 3 is really high.
Right? Actually, you know what? I give it 2.5. 3 is very high.
Yeah,
this episode is not good. Yeah.
To more 2.5. I mean, it had like a couple of moments, like, right, the Cordelia thing.
I was gonna say, it had I would have rather watched an entire episode of just Cordelia, like, in therapy.
Yeah. Just like the analogies that she makes.
Even a used Mercedes has leather seats. It's how I'm approaching the world from now on, is that mentality.
Like, oh my gosh, like my husband, like, obviously, like, he drives a Mercedes, so.
Oh yes.
And he's like a vintage Mercedes.
Leather seats.
Like leather seats.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Please.
Although,
please,
I don't think it's
that.
Leather, our seats.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a blue vinyl type thing.
Okay.
It's from 79. So
there we go.
Yeah. There you go. Shout out to Jeff.
Shout out to Jeff. Shout out to you.
Aw, thank you.
If people want to find you on the internet and see what you're about, is there somewhere they should look for
you?
Yeah.
You can follow me at Instagram. I'm a photographer, so you can, mm-hmm, see me, like, sort of my photographic experiments and client work there. At Isha Marie, it's basically my name, so ISSHAMARIE.
Yes, go check out Isha's Instagram for some of those, like, beautiful color-rich tableaus you've ever seen.
Thank you.
Of course.
I should do like a Buffy-inspired shoot.
Please.
Maybe.
Do.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
That'll be super fun.
It's
actually
the season for it.
Yeah, or like a Buffy inspired like recipe of some sort. I don't know.
Yes, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to like watch it again, I think, and then like maybe try and do it for next year. I think it's a little too late for this year, but
that's fair.
Yeah,
it's never too late to start planning.
Yeah,
for Buffy.
Yes,
Buffy,
exactly,
content
for like next year.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. I'm so sorry about this weird episode. We'll do like an Oz episode if we do more of Buff
Oh,
Wild.
Man. The Once More With Feeling episode. That's the one I want to discuss.
Oh my god, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one. That is
like one of the most popular. I think you should have a panel, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's, I like
just
it.
Just an idea.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think we should have more seasons of Buff Wild? Do you just want season one? Was this enough, or should we do more of it? Well, you can head over to our Instagram or Twitter. Both are Buff Wild Pod. And tell us your thoughts, feelings, concerns. I would be surprised if nobody had concerns about this podcast. You can also email us at buffwildpod@gmail.com if you have like some really specific Buffy feelings you need to get off your chest. If you are wanting like all of your sources in one place, you can look at our Linktree page, which is also buffwildpod. Linktree/buffwildpod, and it will take you to our social media, everywhere you can listen to our podcast, and also our donation payment options if you feel like people should be paid for creating content and you want our lively guests to have some compensation for me forcing them to talk about killer bugs for an hour. But yeah, hopefully maybe we'll do this again sometime.
Yeah,
talk definitely. About Oz, it'll be good.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you again for joining us. We will see y'all next week for more Buff Wild. Bye.